big showdown coming with North Korea this weekend. I got evil thoughts about it.
I have really gotten to like and respect, as you know, President Xi.
Yeah, Xi is going to be key. That is, that's exactly right. Xi, President Xi from China, is going to be key this weekend. All right, so the podcast is called Evil Thoughts. I'm Joe Crummy. I'm your host. It's all great. I think we ought to be taking most of the show today to talk about what's going to be happening this weekend. North Korea is celebrating their 105th anniversary of the grandfather of the guy that's currently running North Korea. The guy, all the names sound the same to me. Kim Il-sung apparently was born 105 years ago. He's completely dead now. His son after him was Kim Jong-il. That guy is dead too. But the guy that's running it is the grandson now. And they're celebrating the 105th anniversary of the grandpa guy. They call it the Day of the Sun. And I believe it's on Saturday. And they traditionally celebrate with some big military thing. And if it's going to be the launch of an intercontinental ballistic wannabe missile, or if it's going to be a nuclear test, my understanding is Trump says, if you guys do that, we've positioned an aircraft carrier close by. There are a couple of destroyers that can lob some of the, you know, those Tomahawk missiles we fired last week. Yeah, by the way, did you hear about the mother of all bombs we dropped? Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. If you do go ahead and do this, we're close by. And we don't want it, okay? And so that's what's going on. Now, this is a pretty big confrontation. But as I said, the president wants to leverage his relationship with the president of China. And right now, you know, when Trump wants you to be working with him, he says nice things. Here's the complete quote as the president is talking about President Xi. He met him last week at Mar-a-Lago.
I have really gotten to like and respect, as you know, President Xi.
Yeah, we heard
it.
He's
a terrific person. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time together in Florida. He's a very special man. So we'll see how it goes.
Here, I think that sounds like a little bomb in the background. Mew, boom, like that. And that was the Moab going off. Yeah, when Trump likes you, he says nice things about you, but he expects something in return. Now, when we were a week ago, we were talking about all the missiles going into Syria. I mentioned briefly the mother of all bombs dropped in Afghanistan yesterday, as we do this podcast. These are all messages, of course, to everybody. You know, our allies alike, you know, Syria, yes, you know, 59 Tomahawks is a wake-up call. But it's also meant to be heard by North Korea. It's meant to be heard by Vlad and his boys. It's meant to be heard by you and me. It's meant to be heard by everybody. And using the big bomb yesterday is yet another message. What we are going to do with President Xi is have him use his leverage with the North Koreans to cool it and to back down. Now, there is some evidence today that Trump's newfound bromance with China, which admittedly is at odds with what he said on the campaign trail. But I'll explain that in a minute. That's all part of Trump's art of the deal. There is evidence that it's working. And there's a couple things here. Did you know that yesterday in the Security Council at the UN, they had a vote to condemn the Syrian use of gas? And normally, when you have these kinds of votes, and the U.S. says, we want everybody to condemn this, that China normally votes with the Russians. Did you know that yesterday they abstained on that? And that's kind of cool. We also hear that China buys a lot of coal from North Korea. Not that they even need it so much, because China has a lot of coal. But they buy coal from North Korea because, let's face it, those guys, you know, it's not exactly a high-tech industry. North Korea isn't known for that. But at least they've got something, you know, raw materials, and China buys it to kind of prop up their buddy North Korea. We've also heard this morning that China has canceled some flights into the capital of North Korea. And I think there was a third thing they've been doing, too, I'm trying to think of what was it. That China was selling oil to North Korea, and that they have stopped that as well because they're trying to put pressure on North Korea. I think this is really cool because what's happening is we now have China, and I think Trump gets this, and he gets it because he understands trade with China is more important than the ideological history that China, say, and North Korea have had, and the relationship they've had, and even the relationship they had with the Russians. It was all sort of a commie, communist, anti-West kind of thing. What Trump gets, and I think he really gets this, is that those days are over. And now, if you take a look at China, you've got China, which is an emerging first world power now? I mean, on its way to becoming somebody. Their largest trading partner, as far as I know, is the United States. When Trump was talking in the run-up to the election about China being a currency manipulator, China with these crappy trade deals, we can't take this, and you're dumping your steel here, and this kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada. What he was doing, he was negotiating. In other words, he's saying, I'm showing you all the grievances I've got on you. And when we sit down, I'm going to be talking about all of these things. Now, what do you have for me? What it appears is President Xi has leverage with North Korea that Trump wants. And I think Trump is smart because he realizes where China's bread is buttered now. It's not ideologically. Right? I think this is key, and I think Trump really gets it. It's not so much like, yeah, we're all commies on this bus, and this is great, and you North Korean brothers, we're commies too, you know, solidarity, and, you know, yeah, and how's Fidel in Cuba? Oh, he's gone. Okay. In other words, that was 25, 35, 40 years ago. China has changed a lot over the last 30 years or so. If you went to China back in 1982, you would see people walking around in these drab, what do they look like? Pajamas, everybody wearing the same thing, and it was really kind of creepy and weird. If you go to China now, that's not what you see. I think China understands its future is with the United States and trade and commerce, because that's what's bringing China out of the whatever what it was. And they look at North Korea and they go, what are you doing for me now? You know, this whole commie thing is over. Take a look at even Russia's economy. You know, as a military, I don't think they're anybody to be trifled with. But if you take a look at Russia's economy, especially with the collapse of oil prices, they're not exactly, you know, whatever. And this whole thing about being commies, they kind of dropped that, too. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't making anybody any money. The whole communism thing. That's why it's kind of, it died. Just, you know, whatever. And who's making the money? The United States is making the money. And China's looking at the United States now going, okay, yeah, you're the ticket forward. We see you as the ticket forward, right? We don't see North Korea. They're not really helping us. And I think Trump really gets that. And as I said, I really like to monitor. It sounds so creepy when I say it that way, but I like to listen to the left wingers either on my Facebook page or, you know, go see what they're saying and all that, the haters. And they were aghast last week when Trump was meeting with President Xi at Mar-a-Lago. And that he announced to the president of China over chocolate cake that he had sent 59 Tomahawk missiles into Syria. And my liberal friends are like, oh, you know, so he's so cold and callous and, you know, oh, you know, what, a, you know, and then bragging about the chocolate cake at Mar-a-Lago to the president guy. And he's talking about bombing Syria. You know what I think? I think that's cool. Oh, man, I just dig that. You know, I just really think that's fascinating. So you've got a big North Korean showdown. I think the time has come for China to make a choice. Which way do you want to go? Is North Korea your future in some silly ideological thing from 50 years ago about communism and all that? Or is it about the money? Is it about the trade? Is it about the power? So that was great when Trump was saying, you know, we got problems with X, Y, and Z with regard to currency. We've got problems with some of your companies. We've got problems with you dumping steel in the market. We got this and that kind of stuff. Trump is buying himself leverage. He's saying, I got a pile over here of grievances that I'm going to want to address. And maybe he even kind of exaggerates a little bit. Does this sound a little familiar when you're talking about Donald Trump? Exaggerating what the problems are. So when it comes time to deal, he's got plenty of gas in the tank. He's got all this stuff he's been talking about in playing up and making a big deal. So when he sits down with the guy from China, he says, all right, these are all the issues I've got. Now I need your help. Right, so he's buying himself some leverage, which I think is just fascinating. And that's something to be watching for over the weekend. The reason why we didn't talk a lot about it over the weekend was you got the Asian guy on the airplane that sucked up all the oxygen. It was a great story, but we weren't talking about all this international intrigue that's going on, and I really like it. Also lost over the weekend, or over during the week, because of the Asian guy, was the Sean Spicer mistake when he was talking about Syria and Assad in Syria. Sean Spicer was saying he's evil and bad and he used chemical weapons. And Spicer, of course, made a big mistake. Here's what he said.
I think a couple things. You look, we didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had a, you know, someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
Oh, that was the problem, because somebody stood up and said, well, what about gassing 6 million Jews? Oh, my God. You would have thought that Spicer had just gassed 6 million Jews. It was like, what? People freaked out about that. Look, he made a mistake, and I think everybody knows what he was talking about. He was talking about that Hitler did not drop gas bombs or even use gas in combat. That's what Spicer was referring to, that Assad is using gas in combat. It's very true about the Holocaust. What I thought was, I mean, that was bad, and he apologized, but it's pretty clear what he meant. You know, Spicer, I didn't look up his history, but let's face it, he's aware of the Holocaust. I liked it when they called him out on it and the media got all crazy about it for at least 48 hours. I like the way Wolf Blitzer was interviewing him later and said to him, you do believe in the Holocaust, right? Yeah, as if, no, I don't. You know, and I like the way Wolf Blitzer did it, too. He did it, you know, sort of like he was just being friendly and nice about it. And as though he was pretty sure that Spicer would say, of course. But I like the way he kind of brought it up to kind of position it, that doubt in all of our minds. And of course, the next day, Spicer was on with Greta. And to show you that nobody really, besides the media, really gave a rip, listen to the audience response when Greta asks Spicer about his faux pas the day before.
So, Sean, let's start with yesterday.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. If Greta had asked the Asian guy on the plane, hey, how was your week? Do you think everybody would be laughing? No, because the American public really is down with the Asian guy. But I'm not. The Asian guy on the plane, I would have kicked his ass off the plane myself. But, you know, that's another issue, and we spent plenty of time on that. But anyway, so it goes on and on and on. The thing about the Spicer controversy with Hitler this week is that what Spicer said was, you know, wrong. I mean, you got Hitler gassing 6 million Jews, but he wasn't really talking about that. What annoyed me was the endless apologizing. That's what it was like. All right, he didn't, you know, it's pretty clear. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we take a guy like Spicer and try to turn him into some kind of weird anti-Semite? Listen to him squirming as he's apologizing to Greta. I mean, after a while, it's like, enough already.
The Holocaust situation question. Your thoughts today?
What's he going to say?
I made a mistake. There's no other way to say it. I got into a topic that I shouldn't have.
We got into a topic that he shouldn't have. That's not even true. I mean, he has to, what's the word? Prostrate. I think that's the word, not prostate, but prostrate himself over this.
And I screwed up. I mean, you know, and I hope people understand that we all make mistakes. I hope I show that I understand that I did that and that.
You know, this goes on and on. I could play you 5 minutes of this, of his answer here. Oh, I didn't mean it. I just said it's like, no, everybody, look, you know why that Spicer is doing this is because it's all political haters. I mean, the thing about O'Reilly, it reminds me of the same thing, too. You know, notice how the media is all excited about taking down O'Reilly. But they never talk about what's fueling it is that it's a political takedown. And they pretend as though that's not happening at all. Just some of my evil thoughts today. Listen, I want you to rate this podcast on iTunes. All right, could you do that? I can't believe it's already 15 minutes. It goes quick. And for that guy on the airplane, oh, God, I'll just say one thing about him. It may be true that the airline industry in the United States needs to be taken a look at how it treats passengers because the flying experience sucks. But this guy, David Dow, is not your poster boy, all right? This is a guy that put everybody on the plane in danger by fighting with guys with guns. And by the way, I was looking at the cops on one of the videos. Looking at the cops with on one of the videos, and it's two or three guys standing there. You know what they're thinking? Oh, God, they don't want it either. You know, they just know they're dealing with a time bomb. You know, like, oh, we got some asshole, and now what? Now we got to drag them out. And they're all suspended today, too. They're all suspended. So David Dow sucked up all the oxygen this week, and I just wanted to focus in on Trump because we had a big weekend coming up, big showdown coming with North Korea, and I'm kind of digging it. So we'll see where this goes. And I'll be right here talking about it. Got my evil thoughts. Joe Crummy, turn up the music.